You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 10 June. Japanese GDP for Q1 came out a few hours ago, -0.5%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nkunza from Sanlam Private Wealth, more strong US jobs data, and Fashini results, which managed to get the whole clothing sector running on Friday. Lucinda Rudy from Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. So, concept of piercing the corporate veil in law, which is something I hadn't heard of before. But importantly, a recent Supreme Court of Appeal judgment that actually now expands that definition. And then Vuz Govender from First Equity Group, civil unrest and the risks for businesses and insurers. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb, not exactly smooth sailing for Santova yet. Stripping out the noise allows some colour to be seen in its seemingly somber set of annual results. Business Day, S&P warns of downward pressure on insurers' earnings. Extreme weather events are occurring with increased frequency and severity. Morning markets, the US closed on Friday red, 0.1 down for S&P and 0.1 down for NASDAQ. Over in the east, mostly red. Sydney off a tenth of a percent. Tokyo's up 0.5%. Hong Kong is down 0.6 and 10 cent off 1.8%. Commodities mostly red. Gold $2,313. Brent $79.91. Platinum $976. Palladium $930 an ounce. Rand is $18.87. Bitcoin $69,700. And top 40 opening call 215 points to the red. That is 0.3% down.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kunza from Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, Friday was Jobs Day in the US, and I almost want to say no surprise, it was another strong set of jobs data coming out. I mean, say what you will about the US economy, it is humming along, and certainly the job space is of no stress, which is what Jerome Powell was worried about some almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, the U.S. economy really is a bit of an outlier at the moment and, as you said, continues to outperform, and certainly those jobless numbers were case in point. I mean, just some facts here to throw at you and the listeners. I mean, this has been this unemployment number below 4% over 30 months. That is the longest stretch in half a century. So it really is eye-watering sort of numbers here. And I've got to say, until this jobless numbers, I guess, start to ease a bit, it's difficult to see how Mr. Powell's job becomes any easier. Of course, we'll know this week there's a Fed announcement this week.
Yeah, that's just it. We got the FOMC on Wednesday. He did right at the beginning of the hiking cycle, which was fast and aggressive, say, you know, we expect pain in the unemployment sector, not seeing it at all. No need for him to cut this week. I mean, heckly, at this rate, no need for him to cut anytime soon.
No, exactly. I mean, there's US employers. I mean, they've consistently kept on hiring. I mean, Every single time you get those weekly job lists, and then you get obviously the unemployment numbers once a month, there's yet to be a single blip at all. And I guess it does play into, there is a portion of the sort of Fed watchers that are saying, you know, guys, don't expect any rate cut this year, which maybe that's a distinct possibility. But U.S. economy still, as you said, the start of this chat, just roaring ahead.
Yeah, and when we started the year, some folks were saying six, we're getting zero, but that hasn't that hasn't stopped the markets in the least. Bringing it back, local Fashini results. I mean, revenue was up what, almost 9% to a record, just over $60 billion. HEPS up only 0.2%. I suppose not bad, but considering conditions, but man, the whole clothing retail space liked it. I mean, Mr. Price and all the others running as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I sort of went through the slide pack afterwards, the presentation. It's difficult to find a sort of bad side of it. I mean, offshore, we know how these companies, some companies fare offshore. I mean, inflation was a bit of a problem, as expected, outside of our borders. But in general, I mean, highlights for me, I mean, cash generated up 76%, paying down that debt. It's great. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see, you know, sort of these debt impairments coming down, better efficiency overall. I mean, I just thought it was really solid set of numbers. And after I sort of looked at it, we don't own it, so disclosure there. But when I took a look at it, PE of 12, dividend yield, that's a little bit on the low side, but I guess that could increase. They've already increased their dividend now. I just thought it was a solid set of numbers. And as you said, just reflecting maybe the sort of durability and the strength of the South African consumer, very resilient still. And that whole basket, as you said, really popped higher. I mean, as you said, Mr. Price, all the retailers all had a decent session off the back of it.
Yeah, and none of them massively expensive. I'm checking now. Forward P and Mr. Price, I mean, sub 14. These are not expensive. It's tough conditions, but these are also really top retailers, and perhaps that's the key story. We'll leave it there. Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Is there value in local clothing retailers? Certainly on Friday, the market said yep, and marked some of these stocks up around 5% for the day. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Lucinda Rudy. She's director dispute resolution at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Lucinda, appreciate the time. Piercing of the corporate veil, a phrase you dropped just before we came on air. In essence, if we step back a moment, South African law recognizes companies and directors as separate entities, directors and shareholders not liable for debts. This is an important distinction in our law as it currently stands.
Yes, morning, Simon. Thanks for having me. Indeed. I mean, the cornerstone of the South African corporate law is the separate legal existence between a company on the one hand and their directors and their shareholders on another. So unless a director or a shareholder signs a suretyship in favor of a company or a guarantee in favor of a company, there is no way, subject to some unlawful actions by a director or a shareholder, that a director or a shareholder can ever be held liable for the debts of a company. And one can understand why that's necessary. I mean, otherwise nobody would ever want to be a shareholder or a director in a company. So that is one of the cornerstones of our South African corporate law. But of course, third parties out there that contract with companies needs some assurances that directors and shareholders cannot act recklessly, cannot act unlawfully and just get away with it by sheltering behind the separate legal entity. And that's why both our Common Law and our Companies Act do make provision for what we generally call piercing of the corporate veil.
It is. And there's been a recent case around this where if directors do act unlawfully or recklessly, they actually can be liable.
Indeed. And there is a very nice, almost a distinction without a difference. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, when one speaks about piercing of the corporate veil, you think of a situation where the courts look behind the separate legal entity of a company and go after its shareholders or its directors. And one see that often in cases where you have family-run businesses. A company is almost the alter ego of the shareholders.
Yeah.
What this Centaur mining case now have done is highlighted a different nuance to piercing of the corporate veil, which is provided for in Section 20, Subsection 9 of the Companies Act, where the court says sometimes you have a group of companies where the directors and the shareholders conduct themselves in such a manner that they ignore the different legal entities. And the court is going to collapse that group companies basically into one company. So here, the piercing of the corporate veil is not collapsing a company to go after its shareholders of directors, but actually collapsing a whole group of companies into, let's say, theoretically speaking, one company, so that all of the companies can be held liable. So this is a very, very important decision by the SEA, which punishes, for lack of a better word, the unconscionable use and misuse of separate corporate legal entities within a group of companies.
I see that point, because I could see how, absolutely, you set up a range of different companies to do the malfeasance, for want of a better phrase. What's important here is, back to those points, this is around unlawful or reckless sort of action, rather than sometimes a company just goes bust because, well, you know, maybe it wasn't a good business, maybe circumstances changed. This is not going to suddenly spring on you because a company couldn't survive. The pinnacle is it's unlawful, it's reckless.
Yeah. So, I mean, the words that are used in the act is the unconscionable abuse of the juristic personality of the company as a separate entity. So it is already a very high burden of proof that a creditor or a third party will have to establish. It will have to establish unconscionable abuse. If a company goes bust because of economic circumstances, then there's no risk of this.
Yeah, gotcha. And this really is, that's the important point. And I appreciate it's a high bar, absolutely. And my non-legal expert thinks a high bar is probably a good bar to have here. But this is around protecting creditors and potential third parties for when malfeasance has happened, even if it isn't a common occurrence. It is around that protection, which is so important, because otherwise the whole economy grinds to a halt.
Agreed. And if I may, there was one statement which the judge in this matter made, and I want to read it because I think it is so to point. It says, it would be untenable that a main fraudster can be liquidated, and then when the co-conspirators are discovered and found to be holding the assets and being solvent, that the court would not exercise the powers in terms of section 20/9, as it happened in this matter. So this is there. It gives a lot of comfort for creditors out there. That the courts have very wide discretionary powers to look behind the separate legal entities created by group companies, especially when there is malfeasance, unconscionable conduct. So there is a level of protection.
We'll leave it there. Listen to Rudy, Director, Dispute Resolution at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Appreciate the time today.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in StanLib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. StanLib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Viz Govender, CEO, First Equity Group. Viz, appreciate the early morning time. So far, our election's been calm. We've seen no civil unrest being reported from around the country. But I imagine for many businesses, there is a concern around the repeat of those July 2021 riots.
Morning, Simon. Yes, there is the sense of concern, definitely. You know, I think we all, as an industry and as businesses, feel there's a heightened probability of there being some civil unrest. So there is concern, definitely.
For businesses, I mean, obviously, part of it is just good old-fashioned property damage. But I imagine that it's actually wider than that. It's going to be, you know, if we see some civil unrest, it will be inability to trade. It will be supply chains being disrupted. It might even be inability to manufacture whatever it is, the widget or whatever it is that you sell into market. It's a wide range of risks beyond just a potential storefront damage, in a sense.
Very much so. It goes way beyond property damage and material damage, as we refer to it. And we must also not forget people, you know, your staff and so on. But in terms of the business interruption, covers both business interrupted through damage to property as well as what we call contingent business liability. Those are very, very much real risks where either your access to your property is denied, or you can't trade because your stock is damaged, or your shop, your store, your business is damaged, or your vehicles can't deliver, mm-hmm. your suppliers, your customers are affected. So all of the above are threats that face a business, and they are most of them very much insurable, and one is able to transfer that risk to the insurance industry.
Because that was going to be my question. I mean, are these, and I think business interruption, which is truthfully, I think many cases, and I speak for myself here, not a phrase or an insurable act I had heard of prior to July 2021. These are all insurable for a business. You can speak to an insurer and get cover.
Yes, and you know, most good businesses that have good advisors will have the cover. You know, you might not know it, mm-hmm. but you know, in South Africa, we've got fairly comprehensive offerings. In the commercial space, we have a multi-class product, often referred as multi-mark, which covers both property damage, often on the policy referred to as fire cover, mm-hmm. As well as the business interruption. The one thing to note, though, Simon, is that the unrest, riots, political instability, and that sort of stuff is generally not covered by the traditional insurance market, and one has to get specialist cover for that.
Is that and that then backs into Sasria, if I'm correct? Because certainly that was, again, I think a lot of folks hadn't realized that distinction when 2021 happened.
Yes, it is Sasria. You know, Sasria is reasonably unique to South Africa. You know, it arose in the dark days of our past, when we had regular riots and unrest, and citizens rising up against establishment of the state, and the traditional insurance industry said, these are regular losses that we can't carry ourselves, and government, you have to step up. So Sasria is a state-owned company, and they do a really great job at a very good price of covering those risks that the traditional industry isn't prepared to cover. And again, most businesses and most individuals have this in their commercial and personal policies, or as an adjunct to their personal and commercial policies, without even knowing it. A good broker generally just gives you that cover, and it is reasonably cheap.
Yeah, I've seen that line in my insurance policy, and it never quite made sense, but it absolutely does now, where essentially my insurer was saying, I don't cover you for political unrest, but don't worry, these guys over here do, and you are covered. For the businesses, I suppose, we're talking now around election, but this should be something I imagine a business should be doing on an ongoing basis once a year, but checking your policy, speaking with your insurance advisors to see what you have got or what you perhaps are missing in some cases.
You must, and you must constantly do so. You know, one of the concerns for us in the industry is the level of uninsurance with regards to normal traditional covers as well as Sasria, mm-hmm. which feels like was exacerbated, after the July unrest a few years ago, 2021. What had happened then, up until then, Sasria cover was exceptionally, affordable, very, very cheap, to be honest. And Sasria paid some significant losses. Government had to recapitalize them, 30 billion north of that was paid. And they had to adjust their pricing, to be in line with the heightened risk. So Sasria became a lot more expensive. But in my view, and I think, really, it's still very, very affordable. The other thing to note, if you're a large business, Sasria typically limits cover up to 500 million, which sounds mm-hmm. like a lot, but mm-hmm. in a business it isn't. You could have a billion in one warehouse. We've got clients with 2 billion in one warehouse. So you've got to specifically ask for cover in addition to that, and Sasria might grant it. If they don't, then there's some specialist insurers, Lloyd's of London, some other international mm-hmm. insurers and South African insurers that will provide cover above Sasria, which we call riot, rap, or political violence and terrorism cover.
Okay. A quick last point. The recapitalization of SASRI, I mean, my sense is that that really is the system working. I mean, the July 21 was hopefully something we never see again. Certainly, we hadn't seen that level in decades, probably since the 80s. And that is that one-off sort of event. And in this case, the shareholder government steps in and recapitalizes. That's the system working.
It is absolutely system work. You know, I think it worked magnificently after the July unrest. A very, very unfortunate incident, obviously. Mm-hmm. And like you say, hope you never see it. But, you know, there was a lot of skepticism at the time. You know, SASRI is not going to have enough money. Government's not. Yeah. The Treasury is not going to give them enough. But they did a marvelous job. You know, there was something like, depending on which figures you look at, you know, 15 to 30,000 claims, businesses that people were affected.
Wow.
And they were all paid, and government stepped up really well. And the other nice thing was, you know, the CEO of SASRI at the time, Cedric Masondo, he said, we're not going to split hairs here. We're not going to look at the fine print. Yep. It's an incident. It's covered. And put your claims in, and we'll pay them, and we'll pay them quickly. So it worked.
We'll leave that there. Viz Govender, CEO of First Equity Group, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We were talking about cash on Friday, uses of risks around in the local economy. We asked you, do you still use cash? Almost half of you said yes, but less and less frequently. A third said nope, totally digital for the win. The rest say that you love yourself some cash. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Carmen Mepulwani.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.